Hello everyone, and welcome to episode 5 of the What I Am Reading podcast. Each week I'll be reading a short extract from the book that I am reading for you to enjoy. Today I will be reading from The Queen's Nose by Dick King Smith. Chapter 1. Uncle Ginger. Harmony and Rex Raffamonte sat side by side in the old chicken house at the bottom of the garden. No chickens had lived there for many years. Mr. and Mrs. Parker did not like animals, but a vague sour smell of the birds lingered on. There was still some fusty straw in the nest boxes, and the perches were barnacled with old dry droppings. The place was small and dark, for there was only one little wire netting window, with a wooden shutter which you could slide across if the rain blew in. The door was low, so that a grown-up person would have found it hard to enter, and, except the perches, there was nothing to sit on but an upturned tea chest. None of this mattered to Harmony, for the chicken house was her retreat. Here she came to be alone, which she mostly liked to be. Not, of course, that she was ever quite alone, but there was always Rex Raffamonte. Harmony Parker was a girl of 10. She had very large brown eyes. She looked as though she wouldn't say boo to a goose. This was true in one sense, for she wouldn't have said anything so silly. A goose was one of the dozens of different creatures she dreamed about owning as she sat on her tea chest. Harmony longed to have an animal of her own. "I wish I could," she said to Rex Raffamonte. "As well as you, I mean." Rex Raffamonte was a dog of 59. He had only one eye. The other had dropped out. He had first belonged to Harmony's grandmother and had originally been a rich chocolate colour and quite hairy. Now he was grey and bald all over. He was recognisably some sort of large terrier, an Airedale, perhaps. Three of his legs were still quite stiff, but the fourth, the right foreleg, was squidgy and elongated and even more hairless than the rest of him. It was by this leg that Harmony always carried him. "Why did it have to be so mean?" she said. She picked up Rex Raffamonte, who was standing on the tea chest awkwardly, tipped over on his soft leg with his blind side towards her, and turned him round. "You tell me," she said, staring earnestly into his eye, "why they have to be so stupid about the whole thing. It isn't as though I wanted an elephant, or half a dozen chimpanzees, or a troop of liberty horses. I mean, I wouldn't mind all those, but I'll settle for a pair of mice or just a gerbil. But they won't let me, and you know why, don't you?" Harmony waited, for 10 seconds perhaps, as you would when having a telephone conversation, and then continued. "Exactly. You're absolutely right, Rex Raffamonte. Mommy thinks animals are dirty and carry diseases." There was another pause. "Who?" "Oh, Daddy. Well, he's just not interested. Doesn't like animals. I'm not even sure he likes people much." Pause. "Except her, of course. You're right, I forgot about Simple Sissy." Simple Sissy was Harmony's elder sister, Melody. She was 14 and supposedly her father's favourite. She thought a great deal about her hair and her clothes. She referred to Rex Raffamonte as "that filthy beast" and called his owner "Harm." "So what can I do?" "Just keep on wishing, you say?" "Wishing will make it so, you say?" "Oh, Rex Raffamonte, I wish it was as easy as that." And Harmony picked him up by his soft leg and undid the catch of the chicken house door. She walked slowly up the orchard, swinging Rex Raffamonte gently from side to side. There had been a summer shower, and the long grass was wet. It felt pleasantly cool against her legs and on her bare feet, like paddling in the sea. Suddenly she dived behind an apple tree and lay flat, one hand pressed over the old dog's black woolen mouth, as her sister came out through the French windows and called her name. "Harm!" cried Melody in her usual bossy voice. "Where are you? Mommy wants you." Harmony burrowed lower.
"Not a sound, Rex Raffamonte," she whispered. "Wait until you see the whites of her eyes."
She listened with pleasure to the repeated calling, and then to another voice, her mother's. "Run down and fetch her, Melody, darling. I know she's somewhere in the garden." "Oh, Mommy, the grass is soaking, and I've got my new shoes on." "Hurry up, darling." "Oh, Mommy."
Picking her feet up high, Melody moved reluctantly into the wet jungle of the orchard. In the depths of the jungle, the tigress crouched, grinning with anticipation.
"Harm!" cried Melody once more. "Where are you? Oh, come on, you little beast!"
At this invitation, the tigress charged. Two very different sounds came to the ears of the three people who sat in the room behind the French windows. The first was a kind of horrid, throaty, grunting, bubbling, coughing roar, not very deep in tone to be sure, but of a ferocity that was heart-stopping. And the second was a very loud scream.
"Oh, my nerves won't stand it," cried Mrs. Parker, levering her plump self out of her armchair. "What on earth was that?"
Her husband placed the tips of his fingers together and looked carefully at them over his half-glasses.
"I fear," he said acidly, "that you have sent poor Melody into an ambush. Such a vivid imitation of the sound of a wild animal can only have been the work of your younger daughter."
Mr. Parker always referred to Harmony thus. He looked over his fingertips at the man sitting opposite.
"I imagine," he said, "that you, Ginger, with your encyclopedic knowledge of brute beasts, may actually have recognized the sound."
"Bengal tiger," said the other, without hesitation. "Heard one only last month, up at Budbud, just before I came on leave. Didn't know there were any in Wimbledon."
At this moment, two figures burst in from the garden. One, the man called Ginger could see, was fair-haired with very large brown eyes and an expression of angelic innocence. The other, larger and darker, had obviously just taken a nasty tumble. Her rather frilly summer frock was damp and rumpled and marked with grass stains.
"Melody, darling," cried Mrs. Parker. "Whatever?"
The victim of the ambush was torn between bursting into tears of rage or attacking her younger sister. Disliking the first alternative as too babyish and dismissing the second as too dangerous, for Harmony was a gutter fighter, no holds barred, she fled the room, her mother in anxious attendance.
"Harmony," said Mr. Parker in a weary voice, "this is my brother and therefore your uncle, home on leave from India. I think he has never met you. At this moment, I can only consider him fortunate. Now, if you will excuse me." He rose and moved heavily out of the room.
"I'm Harmony," said Harmony. She put out a rather dirty hand. The man stood up and shook it with a very large one.
"My name's Henry," he said, "but everybody calls me Ginger." They looked at each other with interest. One saw a small girl, bare-legged, dressed in a pair of old jeans that had been hacked off at the knees, and a faded t-shirt which advised him to save the whale. Her feet were not clean, and she smelt faintly of chickens. The other unhesitatingly saw an animal. Long ago, Harmony had firmly decided that, with a few exceptions, animals were nicer than humans. People that she knew or met, she therefore saw in her mind with the ease of long practice, as they saw that mammal or bird or fish, even as an insect. Her teacher was a female praying mantis. She drew well and expressed this fancy by portraits, where the head of the person surmounted the body of the chosen animal. Locked away in her bedroom was a large scrapbook, on the first page of which strutted a tubby, fussy pouter pigeon, bearing above its proud throat her mother's neat and rather vacant face. Overleaf, large, sleek, and moustached, the eyes prominent beneath the bald crown, sat her father, the sea lion. Melody, her blue eyes only the merest fraction crossed, admired her Siamese reflection in a tall looking glass. Not a hair was out of place on her glossy coat, and her long tail curled elegantly round her neat feet. Now, looking at Uncle Ginger, bulky and tweedy, those large hands hanging loosely at the end of very long arms, Harmony instantly recognized a bear, and not just any bear. For though the colour that had given him his nickname still held good in beard and moustache, the plentiful hair of his head was speckled with early grey. "A silver-tipped grizzly!" They both spoke at once. "You're not much like Daddy," said Harmony, "and you're not much like your sister," said the silver-tip, and they laughed comfortably together.
"Would you like to see the garden?" Harmony said.
"I'll show you my den."
"Tiger's den?"
"Oh, you knew what I was pretending to be. Of course you would if you've spent a long time in India, though there aren't many left, I believe."
"Not many."
"Have you ever seen one? In the jungle, I mean."
"Yes, quite a few, and it was a very good imitation. How did you know the kind of noise an angry tiger makes?" Oh, films on the telly, and I've heard them at the zoo. Not angry, but hungry. And homesick, I expect. You don't like zoos?
I'm not sure. I know the good things about them. I just feel all animals ought to be happy, and you can't be happy unless you're free.
They reached the chicken house. The silver-tipped grizzly bent himself double to get through the door, was politely offered the tea chest, and sat down on it, head bowed under the low roof, long arms dangling. He looked at Harmony, balanced on the perch.
You're pretty keen on animals, are you?
He said.
Yes, I like animals more than...
More than what?
More than most things.
What have you got?
Animals, you mean?
Yes.
There was a pause.
None, said Harmony.
Uncle Ginger raised his head rather sharply at this and hit it on the chicken house roof.
No dog, he said. No cat. No rabbits, guinea pigs, mice, budgies. Nothing.
Harmony shook her head. She scuffed at the floor with a bare big toe, making large capital letters in the powdery mixture of old sawdust that covered it.
Uncle Ginger, sitting opposite, read the word upside down. It said dirty.
That's what Mommy and Daddy think animals are, said Harmony in a flat voice. The only way I'm ever going to own an animal, any animal, is by some sort of magic.
Do you believe in magic, Uncle Ginger?
Yes, I do.
They have lots of magic in India, don't they? Rope tricks and snake charms and people lying on beds of nails and stuff.
Yes.
Do you know anything about magic?
Yourself?
A bit.
Gosh, I wish you could use some of it while you're here.
By the way, how long are you here for?
Couple of weeks.
They looked at each other.
No, said Uncle Ginger, smiling through his beard. I'm not just going to go to your parents and say, Harmony ought to have a puppy or a rabbit or something. That's between you and them. But I might be able to help.
Oh, I wish you would.
They made their way out of the chicken house, and Uncle Ginger stretched himself. He looked up at the blue sky and then down at the brown eyes watching him.
Do you do a lot of wishing, Harmony? He said.
Yes, said Harmony. She pulled Rex off Monty's tatty ears. From the top of the garden they heard voices calling.
Ginger, barked the sea lion, there's a cup of tea ready.
And Harmony, cooed the pouter pigeon, come and get tidy.
The Siamese cat was sulking and made no sound.
Wishes do come true, don't they?
Said Harmony in a small voice.
Sometimes.
The silver-tipped grizzly put a big paw on her shoulder and nodded his head.
Sometimes, he said.
Thank you very much for listening. If you need to go out and about, remember hands, face, space, look after yourself and stay safe. Until next time, goodbye!